Today is Mother's Day, and if you're lucky and your mom is still alive, then today is some day that you are going to at least talk to her, I'm sure, right? And if you're really smart, you probably, and I'm not smart, by the way, but you're probably like arranged for a florist, right, to deliver flowers on this day or yesterday. Or maybe you got a card and you put it in the mail, like last week, so that she got it, so today she can read the card. But that's not kind of the same thing. And so on Mother's Day, there's a good chance that you will go home today and you will probably call your mom on the phone and say, "Hey, Mom, how you doing? Happy Mother's Day." And if you're really sophisticated, you might actually get Skype or FaceTime or something like that. All right, you may be sophisticated. Your mom is sophisticated. You may get Skype or FaceTime and talk to your mom face-to-face. But really, on Mother's Day, what you really want to do, and I'm sure this is true, and what your mother would love more than anything else, is that if it's possible for you to go and spend the day with her, right? Wouldn't that just make your mother just so happy to know that she could spend the whole day with you? And not through FaceTime, and not through a card, and not through flowers, and not through a telephone call, but to be there in person, to be able to touch, to be able to talk, to be able to share memories together. That's what Mother's Day is today. Now, I want you to hold that image, because that image of being there in the presence of your mother, close face-to-face contact, will inform our lesson for this morning. Because today we're continuing our sermon series on the prayers of Jesus. And last week we looked at the Lord's Prayer. Now, last week's Lord's Prayer is kind of a misgiving, because even though it is a prayer that Jesus said, it wasn't necessarily a prayer that Jesus said all the time to God. He said that as a model prayer, and so we say that as a model prayer. But in today's lesson this morning, we get an example of Jesus actually not just modeling prayer, but praying to the Father. And this is called Jesus' high priestly prayer. It's in John 17, and it is such an incredible prayer that we're going to take 3 weeks to go through it. And this morning, we're going to look at the first five verses, and we're going to see what we can get from this high priestly prayer of Jesus. And I just want to start into this morning at verse 1, John 17, verse 1, where Jesus said, after Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and he said, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son so that your Son may glorify you." And in some of your versions, you might see that instead of saying, "the time has come," it might say, "the hour has come." Because in the Gospel of John, at the end of verse 17, we move into verse 18, and we immediately move into the passion of Jesus Christ. And whenever John says that the time has come or the hour has come, John is talking about the time of Jesus' death. And John, of all the gospel writers, spends the most time from chapter 18 on talking about the passion where Jesus goes into Jerusalem. He's arrested, he's crucified, and then he's risen again. And John, of all the gospel writers, knows this very well because John was there throughout the whole time. You'll remember when Jesus was on the cross and he said, "Mother, look at your son. Son, look at your mother." That was John. John saw the whole event. And when John wrote the gospel and he looked back at this, he remembered this prayer that Jesus had spoken. And this was a prayer that Jesus talks about that is very important and it should inform our prayer lives. Because what's happening? The hour has come, Father, after this prayer, I'm going to go into Jerusalem. They're going to crucify me and I'm going to die. Now, if you were about to die, if you were going to have this hideous death where they beat you, they mocked you, they put you on a cross to kill you, and this was kind of your last prayer, what would be the first thing on your mind? You might say something like, "Lord, let the pain be light," or "Lord, let it be quick," or "Lord, just make sure I can get through it, make sure I can have the strength to do it." But when Jesus prays, and our model for prayer this morning, Jesus doesn't ask any of that thing. Jesus says, first and foremost, "Father," and he says it five times in this passage. He says, "Father, glorify me so that I might glorify you." think about that for a second. He doesn't ask for any of his needs to be met. He simply asks first and foremost that God would glorify him and that he could glorify God through this. How many times in our prayer lives do we spend the time just saying to God, may you be glorified through this? And yet so many times in our prayer lives, we talk about the little stuff. We talk about, God, help me get through this, make sure I can pass this test, make sure I can do this thing over here. And we see God as kind of a person that doles out these little things. And yet first and foremost, we should ask God to be glorified, that we could glorify him in these things that we do. I want to point to a different scripture verse. We're going to go look at Revelation 3:20 this morning. Because John also wrote the book of Revelation. And what he's talking about there, I think, can inform what we're talking about this morning. Where in Revelation 3:20, John writes, and this is Jesus speaking. He says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Now, I'm sure you've heard this verse many, many times. As a matter of fact, if you go to an evangelism seminar, you'll hear about God standing at the door, you know, and you got to open up your heart so Jesus can come in. And it's a great image, and some of you may be very, very familiar with that. But the problem is that in Revelation, the letter that was written was not to non-Christians. It was written to the church. So when Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock, and I want to come in, what's he talking about? Because it's not like he's talking to non-Christians, he wants to come in. He's talking to the church, he wants to come in. And the fact is that in Jesus, in this verse, Revelation 3:20, what he's talking about is that he wants to enter into your life in a deep and a powerful and a personal way. He wants you to pray daily that you can feel the presence and the glory of God in your life. And how many times in our life when we pray to God, it's like we're just having all these little requests. God, do this for me. God, do that for me. Make sure I'm out of this harm's way and make sure you watch over my kids. And today's Mother's Day, so watch over my mom and all that sort of thing. And I'm not knocking those prayers. Those are great prayers. But that's not what Jesus first looked at. Jesus first and foremost says, God, I don't want to write a letter. I don't want to give roses. I don't want to do FaceTime or Skype or even talk on the phone. God, I want to be with you. Personally, real. I want you in my life. I want it to be so real as if it's a parent sitting on a child's lap. That's how real I want your glory to be in my life. And that's what Jesus prays for first. Now you say, what difference does that make? It makes all the difference in the world. Because as Christians, sometimes we forget our position with the Father. And sometimes we ask, and it's great to ask all these things, but it seems like sometimes we see God as a doctor. God, fix this in my life, fix this in my life, fix this in my life. What we really need to do is to ask God to transform our life every day, to come into our life so that we can see his glory. Now, let me just really make this as plain as possible. As you know, we are, as a church, trying to build our property up on Colossal Cave Road. And over the last year, we've been dealing with the county. And my prayer with God has been, Lord, can you please let the county person that's reviewing the plans finally approve them this time? Or, Lord, can you make sure that he has clarity of mind or that she has clarity of mind? Lord, can you take care of this little detail? Take care of this little detail. And because for many years I worked as an engineer, I get really, really frustrated when the county comes back and says, well, you've got to do this, this, and this, and this. And I know we didn't tell you on the second review, but you got to do it on the third review or the fourth review. And I get really upset. And I get really angry. And I get really worried. And it's like, Lord, are you not going to take care of this? I want you to do this, and I want you to do this, and I want you to do this. But sometimes God wants me to just say, just bask in my glory. It'll be taken care of. First and foremost, do you see who I am? I'm the creator of the universe. All the stuff that you're worried about, don't worry about it. It'll take care of it. Sit in my lap. Touch my face. Let me touch your face. Let me be with you in a real and a personal way. Paul says the same thing. It was in 2 Corinthians 3:18. He was writing a letter to the church of Corinthians, and this is what he said. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And this word, to be looking at God, to be contemplating him, in some version it says to gaze, is to look intently as if a mirror. To be so personal with God that you understand every aspect of his glory. If you are a Christian and you are praying for the little things in life, I'm not knocking that. That is a great thing. But what God first and foremost wants you to do, what God demonstrated in this prayer in John 17 is that first and foremost, he just wants to be your father, to have you bask in his glory, to have that close relationship as a father with a child. Don't worry about the little stuff. And if you are a person that wakes up every morning and you go to work and you're worried about finances, or you're worried about your kids, or you're worried about your job, or you're worried about the economy, or you're worried about all these things, and so you come home and you say, God, deal with all these things, how are you different from anybody else? God wants you first and foremost to see his glory, to let his glory shine through you, to have that personal face-to-face relationship with God. And if you have that first, as Paul says, you will be an ever-increasing glory which comes from the Lord. You will become closer to him. You will serve him. You will understand that he's in charge. And the worries of the world, even though they may seem very severe and very powerful and they don't seem like they can be overcome, you won't worry about them. Because you know that your dad is large and in charge. And he is your kid. He's your father. You're his son. What a great thing. And what is it that we can contemplate? How do we come to the glory of God? Well, it's in here. It's in these verses. Basically, what Jesus is saying is that I was with God from the beginning of the earth. And we had this plan. And the plan was that I would come to this earth and that I would die and I would rise again. And that act was planned from the beginning of the earth, and it is something that dictates or shows God's, reveals God's glory throughout all time. If you want to look at anything about God's glory, contemplate on this. Contemplate on the fact that God came to this earth, that he went to the cross, that he, at that point on the cross, when he was suffering and dying, it was the only time when he said, in every other prayer, he said, Father, Father, Father. But in that one, it was, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because he gave up his glory so that you and I would never, ever have to give up our glory to be able to see God's perfect glory. That is something of which you can contemplate. Today is Mother's Day, and I pray that you'll be able to spend time with your mother. If you can, what a great thing. And it'd be great if you could actually see her in person. I won't be able to see mine today, but I'll call her. And she might be sophisticated. She has an iPhone now. I wonder if I could FaceTime her. Of course, I'm not that sophisticated. But to be able to be in that personal relationship with your mom, to be able to see her, to touch her, that's what God wants for you. And that's what the incarnation is all about, when he came and became face-to-face with his creation. What a wonderful, wonderful message on Mother's Day to remember that God is our parent and that he loves us just as much. In Jesus' name. Amen.